Back in 2005, the government of Abu Dhabi initiated a plan to become a global leader in renewable energy and sustainability. The result of this plan was the planned community of Masdar City, and its development was led by the Honolulu-based architectural firm WATG. Its CEO, Anthony Malos, recently returned to Hawaii and spoke with Conversation producer Harrison Patino about the lessons of urban resilience and development learned from Masdar City.
There are three aspects to Masdar. One was renewable energy, one was Masdar Capital, and the other was sustainable development. So Masdar City was the home to all those initiatives, including building a world-class research university. And the idea was not only would you have the social and the economic sustainable strategies, but you would build a city that was a model for how cities of the future should be built based on sustainable principles.
So you brought a lot of experience as the CEO of WATG coming from Honolulu. What did you bring into that development? What were your ideas in terms of the overall sustainability of Masdar City?
The built environment, particularly cities, and the work we do as designers of buildings, generates about 75% of the world's CO2. So the built environment has a role to play on mitigating against climate change and reducing CO2. So in WATG, our architecture is now focused on resource use, efficiency around energy, water, and the embedded carbons that you use in making a building. But what we also bring to cities like Honolulu is a dialogue about the public realm and particularly mobility. Because the sustainable aspect of cities is not only efficient resource use and reducing the impacts that contribute to climate change, but also the wellness and the social well-being of citizens. The other aspect I think we bring particularly to Honolulu is around mobility. 25-26% of the energy in cities is devoted to moving things. And so if I look at Honolulu and particularly what some of the mayor's initiatives are about reducing traffic CO2 emissions and making the city more walkable, you have a phenomenal public realm and particularly a waterfront. And the more that's integrated into walkable, pedestrian-friendly bike and transit, the long-term benefit to the city will be immeasurable.
Were there any parallels towards what you were able to develop in Masdar City towards what you think might be able to be achieved in Honolulu or in Hawaii at large?
It's a good question. The one idea that does come to mind is the sense of walkable communities that are connected by transit. And the mayor's already onto this, as I understand, with transit-oriented development that will then modify the land use plan for development in the city and link those communities with transit, whether that transit is bikes, buses, rail, or simply rideshare when transportation becomes more of a service than owning a transportation vehicle.
What does that look like in Masdar City now?
It's a series of neighborhoods that are all walkable. And then when you move beyond the neighborhood, you then are connected by a driverless, solar-powered minibus. So the idea is you've got walkable neighborhoods, fully amenitized, a good mix of work, live, play. And then when you want to get to farther reaches of the city, you don't have to jump in a car or what have you. You can jump on transit to get to the next walkable neighborhood.
Masdar City is a planned community. Hawaii has existing communities with existing infrastructure. I would imagine it's different to implement these goals of sustainability and green energy to a community that has yet to be built versus applying those lessons retroactively to a place that already exists. How do you find the balance between that?
Well, Masdar started out because the government wanted to change the paradigm. And so they took the initiative, took the risk, and put the capital in. When I came into Masdar, that was already underway. But I was asked to transform it into a much more workable, open model. So re-engineered the real estate proposition, which has many more similarities to development in Honolulu, because you've got parcels of land being developed, regened. that are very similar to the way we were building neighborhoods in Masdar City, except on Honolulu, it's a much bigger scale. So I think the parallels are there's a balance between government's responsibility to innovate around infrastructure, the public realm, and the regulatory approvals process, and private enterprise to come in and be given incentives to do things that are in the greater public interest, not only in the immediate private interest.
How do you find the compromise between affordability and sustainability?
I think in the early days of sustainable development and sustainable priorities, there was the perception, which in the early days was true, that sustainability added a premium to the development or whatever it was. This is no longer true because there's an awareness now, particularly through the press, about climate change and its possible effects. And there's a greater ability to recognize the benefits of making investments that, in fact, will create resilience and mitigate the effects of climate change. But the other thing we learned at Masdar City, which I think is relevant for the development community, not only in Honolulu but elsewhere, is that if you set the goals out at the beginning on what your sustainability targets should be, and you set in place a series of benefits or inducements, either a faster approval process or an integration between the public realm and the private development so the private development gets some benefit for giving to the public realm, then I think sustainable development should not cost any more. And we proved that at Masdar. We built the world in the Gulf, the first LEED Platinum commercial office building at no extra cost. Because when we set out what were the terms and parameters. So I think one of the things we learned, and it's applicable, I think, anywhere in any urban environment, set out the goals and objectives at the beginning. Almost ask for the impossible so that you can achieve the remarkable.
And going back a little bit, the Hawaii design ethos, that's something you brought to the design of Masdar City. It's something that WATG has used in its projects. Could you describe the Hawaii design ethos?
I think what island communities do and what Hawaii has demonstrated to the world, that you have to live in balance with your environment. The land, the water, the carrying capacity of your land and your communities. Those are fundamental principles that Hawaiian culture has for centuries engendered in the way the islands were curated and managed and how people lived in the islands. I think as we move into the 22nd century and we deal with the issues of climate change, island communities are far better prepared culturally as well as socially to understand what's necessary to achieve a balance between nature and humankind. So that ethos is permeated through WATG because our founding was in Honolulu almost 75 years ago. And that creative dynamic of looking for outcomes that are not only in the benefit of the self-interest, but that are in the benefit of the community, I believe, is a cultural characteristic that comes out of Honolulu and Hawaii for my firm.
What are your big takeaways for achieving a sustainable future in a place like Hawaii?
We have a job ahead. We have challenges. And I think Hawaii is probably better suited than some inland community in North America to deal with those issues. And the other piece is the effects of climate change will be felt quite intensely on island communities. And therefore, being proactive is, I think, a very astute way, not only in the public sector, but also the private sector, and in each and every day in which we live our lives. I think there's one thing which is a challenge, and you see it in the public press, and that is, how do you get governments to recognize the actions they need to take to advance not only the effects of climate change, but how do you build sustainable communities from an energy point of view, resource point of view, and a social point of view. And so looking at integrated environments, something that's very close to WATG's ethic, integrated environments, and by that I mean social, residential, learning, working environments. The true nexus of live, work, learn, play is something I think I learned at Masdar about how you build it physically, but what you put into the buildings is the social aspect and the public aspect is very important. So it's not a private enterprise, it's not a public enterprise, it's a combination of the two creating healthy communities.
That was Anthony Mallow, CEO of the Honolulu-based architectural firm, WATG, which led the development of a Masdar City Plan community in Abu Dhabi with aims of becoming a global leader in sustainability and renewable energy. He was talking with Harrison Patino, our newest producer.